Well, good morning, and I thank you for letting me come and talk to you this morning. It won't be too long, only about 37 pages of the Old Testament law. That's okay. Might get out of here by next week. No, it's going to be fairly quick. And then you guys probably won't have me back the way Dad doesn't give his 45-minute sermons again, right? Well, I got to start off with my favorite verse in the Bible, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. I think some of you probably know it too. I even got it on my wristband, so I always remember it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. The reason that's my favorite is because he has to know me in order to have a plan for me, right? I can't make a plan for something that I have no idea about. If I'm going on vacation and I want to make a plan for it, I research about the vacation. I really know that vacation. We just got back from Florida. It was really nice. But before we went, I researched. So I had a plan. I knew exactly what road I was going down, where to turn, what hotel we were staying at. I knew there was a Starbucks right across the street. Yeah. I knew what we were going to do on vacation. I made a plan. If I didn't know what we were going to do and flew blind, I wouldn't have made a plan, and it probably would have been a disaster. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. That's what most people are looking for, is hope. You know, unfortunately, we look around people in the world today, and that's what they're lacking, is hope. But the good thing is, we know what that hope is. Right? It's Jesus. Always be ready to give your answer. Peter says that always be ready to give the answer for your hope. I just got to talk to the youth just 2 weeks ago about that. And man, they took on that. They knew exactly what I was talking about, and they're ready to give their answer. But I'd like to start off with just giving kind of a brief history of me and what I've been through. I was one of the lucky ones brought up in the church. Even if I didn't think so at the time, my mom knew exactly what I needed. As some of you heard, I had a drug problem. My mama drugged my butt to church everywhere she went. You know what I'm saying? I was involved in Christmas plays, Bible quiz, youth group, youth convention, and even read my Bible on occasion. As I got older, I was still involved in the church. I was a sound man and active in the youth. When I graduated high school, my youth leader gave me this Bible, and I used it last night to bring this message, so I'm pretty sure she would be tickled if she knew that. And then I went into the U.S. Army, went to the military police corps, had the pleasure of seeing a bunch of sand in 2003. I had a Bible that I carried with my gear, but it was seldom opened. I had it, though. I remember when things got a little hairy, I would sing a song to stay calm. As the deer panteth for the water. Yeah, and as explosions were going off, I'm like, as the deer panteth for... It's awesome. Little did I know, that's actually in the Bible. You know that? That's actually a song. As I'm singing, I'm just like, oh, that's what Mom used to sing. So I like, saw. And it did. It really did calm me. I came back from Iraq, spent a few more years in the Army, and then received my honorable discharge. I went to college, completed my bachelor's degree, and then I got a full-time job working at the 911 center just across the street at the sheriff's office. Throughout this time, my father started coming to church. Then he was saved. And audibly, he was called to lead a church of his own that you're sitting in right now. I was lucky to be a founding member and loved having church in my parents' basement because I could watch the Browns game from the start. I helped at the church doing whatever needed done and also played bass in the praise and worship band. You see, I never really did anything that the world would call bad. I wasn't a drug dealer. I wasn't a murderer. I wasn't a thief. I wasn't even a telemarketer. But to be honest, I was no better than any of them. Why? How could I lump myself into all those categories that the world would detest? It was because I was lukewarm. I wasn't hot. I wasn't cold. I just kind of floated along the water. Didn't really choose sides. I've told my youth this before. I was kind of like a ninja. You know, I can just hide in the background. Nobody even knows I'm there. I went through basic training. Drill sergeants at my graduation didn't even know I was in their company. You know, I was great at hiding. It wasn't that I was ashamed. It wasn't that I was afraid to get in front of, made fun of. I don't know. I had the fear of man, if some of you heard that. I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want people to know me, you know? And because of this, after time, I wasn't what God wanted me to be. I wasn't doing what He had called His children to do. I knew what He expected, because I was brought up in church. But I cast it out of my mind and made my priorities number one. I chose what I wanted to do. In time, I found that I had stopped praying, stopped reading my Bible, stopped coming to church unless it fit in my schedule. It wasn't that I decided to stop praying or I said, no, I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. It just happened. It's just a gradual process that I found myself in because I was out of alignment with my King. I wasn't heeding to His nudges because I made my priorities number one. I'm like, I got this. I think I'm just going to do what I wanted to do. Finally, one night years ago, as I was laying in my bed, I knew I was so far away from what God wanted me to be. I prayed, God, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, let it all fall apart and give me a way out. That very next day, God answered my prayers. And what I had been doing fell completely apart. But I felt broken and ashamed. I wasn't feeling broken and ashamed because of what I was doing had now gone away. I felt broken and ashamed because, one, I was upset that I let my parents down. But even more, I was ashamed that I let God down. Because I knew what He expected of me. And it wasn't that I stood there and said, no, I'm not going to do this. But if you're not reading your Bible, not going to church, not staying in that fire, if anybody's built a campfire, I've used this a lot. If you build a campfire, what happens when you take a piece of coal and set it out? It's going to go away, right? Now, if I take that same piece of coal and put it back in the campfire, what happens? It burns. It reignites, and it's with the whole thing, and it's one big fire, right? So that's kind of what I found myself in. But we have to be broken in order to find repentance. To repent. Anybody know what to repent means? That's right. It's more than just saying, I'm sorry. I repented. I turned away, and I never did it again. And repentance is followed by change. Another word for change is transformation. That's a fancy word. I'll write that down and use it later. So that very day, I repented of my sin that I had put myself into, and I never went back to it. I accepted and welcomed change. Sometime later, I met a beautiful woman that God brought into my life. We started dating for a while, and we got married. She brought with her an amazing son, which means I get the privilege of being a dad. Because of my repentance, God has blessed me. Now, I would like to share a story of something that happened to me last winter. And when this happened, I wrote it all down. I shared it with Dad. And we both agreed. I knew right from the start, but he agreed that someday I was going to be standing right here and give it to you guys. So if you are here today, this might just be a story for you. Because I believe nothing just happens by chance. It's all lined up. He has a plan for you. As I was sitting in my recliner in my man cave, I heard the furnace kick on and then off again. It did this several times and then it shut off completely. I had this happen a time before and I knew what was wrong. The flame sensor has deposits on it and needs cleaned. I rose from my easy chair and gathered my tools like Tim the Toolman Taylor. Anybody watch Home Improvement? I watched that all the time when I was a kid, and he reminded me of my dad. Well, it might have been. He gave me the 18 pounds, so I felt like I could do this. So after I got my tools, I proceeded to remove the flame sensor, and sure enough, I saw black deposits along the stainless steel rod. I gently cleaned the sensor, being as careful as I could not to snap it in half, not to go buy another one. After a light wipe down, I replaced the sensor and turned the power back on to the furnace. Right away, the fan began to blow. The igniter began to light. And the flame started to burn. But after only a few seconds, the flame went out again. The furnace did this several cycles and then shut down completely yet again. I knew what was wrong with it. I had it happen before and I fixed it. But not to be denied, I did all the steps over again. I turned off the power to the furnace, removed the flame sensor rod, lightly cleaned the sides of the rod to remove the deposits while snapping it in half. Then I replaced the sensor. But this time, before I turned the power on to the furnace, I prayed to God that He would fix my furnace and bring heat back into my house. With a heart filled with faith, I turned the power back on to the furnace, heard the exhaust fan kick on. It blew out all the old gas that way it wouldn't blow up. The glow plug shined and the flame ignited. But only after a few seconds, the flame went out again. What? But I prayed! I prayed! It should have worked, right? I knew that what is wrong with the furnace has to do with that flame sensor. My flame sensor must be bad. That's the only thing I could think of. I found my electric meter, which I just got, and I wanted to use it on everything. So I started taking the sensor apart to test it when God spoke to me. God told me to take the sensor out again and clean it again, but this time, focus on cleaning the top. Following the Holy Spirit's command, I took the sensor out again and looked at the top. I could see a lot of black on the top of the sensor, but I saw that before. I had lightly brushed over it, but nothing came off right away. So I assumed that that was how the sensor was supposed to look. As I began to clean the top of the sensor, the hard black deposits started to disappear. I could see some silver shining through. I continued to sandpaper away the black, and finally, it was like new. What I thought was a part of the sensor was actually what was stopping the flame. I replaced the sensor, turned the furnace back on, and of course, the flame lit and stayed lit. The furnace worked perfectly again, and still working now. Before I even replaced the sensor the last time, I knew that the furnace was going to work. I just knew it. But as I was putting the furnace back together, God began to speak to me again. He said, we need to examine our whole being, not just the sides, not just the parts that are easily seen. There may be hard deposits in us that we just thought was a part of us, that is supposed to be there. But when we take it to Jesus and ask Him to examine it, He'll show us what to clean. If we leave the hard spot, that sin in our life, the flame is not going to stay lit. Even if we pray earnestly for God to fix it, our sin will prevent the flame from burning. In Isaiah 59:2, and I know my dad has said this time and time again, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. We have to clean our sensor so the flame will burn. Otherwise, He won't hear us. So no matter what, even if you think that, I've just always done that, you have to get it out of your life. How do you know what to get out of your life? By praying. God will show it to you. Reading your Bible. If I wanted to put together a new TV stand, which I've done before, and if anybody's done that, that takes forever. Why this flat box? It's huge. You gotta take everything out. You gotta, K goes here, L there, those little flat things. But in order to figure out how to put it together, what do you have to do? Read the instructions, right? If I just assume what everything goes into, I might end up with a computer stand or a nightstand or something. I don't know, something else. But if I read the instructions, which these are instructions, right? They never change. It's always here, always the same. If I read the instructions, then I'll know how I'm supposed to act, what God wants to get out of my life, how to be in alignment with Him. You know, Paul wrote in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we have to change in order to be saved. Right? But it doesn't stop there. You don't just say the sinner's prayer and then, okay, I'm good forever. It's a constant process. As Christians, we are never supposed to stop changing. You mean to tell me that there's more to do? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect Lord's glory, are being transformed or changed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." In the King James Version, the ever-increasing glory is also said from glory to glory. It's a change from glory to glory. And that's after we've been saved. We just keep going from glory to glory to glory. But how do we do that? How do we keep in that process? Again, by praying without ceasing, seeking what Jesus has for us, continuing to ask God to search our hearts and bring to light those dark areas in our life. Sometimes it's easy to know what we need to change in our lives. Other times, it's like in the furnace story. We may think we're okay, but when we examine it by the Holy Spirit, we're still blackened. I would like to leave you with this. You are not your own, and you are bought with a price. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He replaces your death sentence to hell with His eternal life sentence. You're not looked at as the same person in heaven. Jesus gives you His name. You are His son, His daughter. Your life is not your own anymore. He bought your life with His blood that He shed on the cross because He loves you. Jesus loves you. You're His son when you're known by Him. You're only going to be known by Him when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, I know today we didn't have a praise and worship team. We don't even have the most eloquent speaker today. But none of that matters. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't change. The computer could have broke. The mic could have went out. Maybe I got hoarse. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, He never changes. And He's always there. If you've never asked for forgiveness of your sins, I encourage you to do it today. If you find yourself in some place that you never thought you could have been, stop. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Repent means to change. You have to change and never go back. And I guarantee you, years will start to tick by and you'll be like, man, how was I even that person? And then you'll give God all the glory for who you've become. Amen?